Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Cabrera. Here, we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm excited to be here today with my neighbor and friend, Christine Michaud. Very excited for her to talk to you today about her faith and just what her journey has been like as a believer in Christ. So thank you so much, Christine, for being here with us.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk to you.
I can't wait. Christine and I often will go for walks in our neighborhood, and we have lovely conversations when we walk around. So before we put the microphone in front of our face and headphones on today, we said, well, this is just like a walk in the neighborhood. So excited that everyone gets to tune in and listen to what one of those conversations sounds like. So Christine, I'd love to start out I'd love for you to share about your background of faith, and really just what is it that brought you into this relationship with Christ?
Yeah, so I for many years thought I was a believer. I was kind of walking what I thought was a walk with Jesus, and I went to a lot of Bible studies and went to church, but I always felt there was something missing. And I always had this voice in the back of my head. I would ask myself, am I really a believer? And it kept coming up. So constantly questioning my salvation, but I kept going to Bible studies and I kept going to church, and I thought I was doing all the right things. Why was I not feeling like this was a real solid thing? And it wasn't really until it's probably been about 12 years ago now, when I had, I was going through some really difficult things in my life. And I got to a point where I just really cried out to God and just kind of laid everything down on the line. And I was like, I cannot do this on my own. And I realized how much I needed Jesus. And it wasn't anything that I was doing. It wasn't anything I could do. It was really just putting my faith and my trust in Him, and being willing to accept the gift that He had given us. And in that moment, it was really kind of a amazing moment of where I just was immediately flooded with peace. From that day forward, never questioned my salvation. The voice stopped coming in my head, and it really just kind of changed everything. So it was really getting to a point where I realized that it wasn't anything I could do. Right. It was all about accepting what Jesus had already done for me.
Right. And I'm going to add a little flavor to this story, because I do know your story. And I think it's interesting, especially for people that wonder. I'm very focused on just the behind the scenes idea of what is this really like? Mm-hmm. And I think you just gave us a really good taste of that. But the extra flavor that I'll add is that you were walking in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah, I was. I was out on a walk, and I was literally out on a walk. It was a really tough time. And I just had all these things and thoughts and feelings going through my life and going through my head as I was trying to, you know, contemplate my next steps. And I got to literally top of a hill at a corner. And I just had this moment where I literally just had a transitional moment. Yeah. And I cried out to God, and I just said, I can't do this.
Right.
You know, I can't do this.
Right. You knew that you had exhausted all of your effort, your own resources,
yep,
and that you had to have,
yep,
God's intervention in order to overcome,
yep,
what you were going through.
Yep. And I literally was just flooded with peace in that moment. And it, wow, just was the beginning of a completely changed,
yeah,
transformation that continues. You know,
yeah,
it's a process,
yeah,
but wow, there was a big change there.
Isn't that amazing? God is so amazing how He shows up for people. And I love that He met you on the hill in your, yeah, neighborhood, whenever you just had this very internal, unseen, right? Nobody would have known that this is happening. This,
nope,
is extremely internal turmoil, spiritual surrender, things that are unseen to the human eye are taking place. And yet this amazing transformation takes place that ends up becoming very evident in the physical realm, right? That ends up becoming evident in your life and your family and all of these other spaces. But initially it started just where your spirit and God's spirit just came into this unification right there in your neighborhood. And and he just rescued you. I love that. What a beautiful story. So I'm curious. So you said that was 12 years ago. And now that you've been living this life of faith for a while, what have you learned about God?
He is really faithful. You know, he had been wooing me for a long time, and he's there for us. He just wants us to accept this beautiful free gift he's given us. And I have learned that my faith walk is really good when I spend a lot of time with him, quiet time with him, time in the Word, praising him, you know, thinking about all of the great things he's done for us. It just totally changes my perspective. And occasionally I think about, I get a little busy and maybe I miss that quiet time in the morning. Sometimes I kind of wander a little bit further and maybe I miss it two or three days in a row. And it changes everything. My perspective, my life just starts unraveling and things just change again really quickly. And, you know, so I need to be, you know, I found that I really just need to be, have, you know, just see that presence in that relationship, which comes through being in the Word every single day. So, you know, really for me, I found at this point that no matter how busy I am, I need to at least just find 10 minutes and not let that time, you know, pass. But when I do wander a little bit, he's always there getting me right back on the path. It's like that hand just reaches out, pulls me back on the path.
Right.
And so he's very been very, very faithful and continues to
be. And I think that God's faithfulness, you know, when I think about what are other characteristics that we can learn about God's character in light of his faithfulness, the things that come to my mind are forgiveness. How forgiving he is, right? He doesn't hold our sins against us. He doesn't lord our in where we fall short over us, right? He's so gracious and just outpours grace upon us. I think many people may think of, well, let me back up and say, anyone listening to this podcast for any type of extended period of time is going to know that I refer to the throne of God often because that's just something that is part of my my own community, like my own way of understanding God is him being on the throne of my life. But I think of his throne as a throne of grace, a throne of love. I know that in kingdoms, with kings sitting on a throne, they have to hold out the scepter that invites people to come before them. And if that scepter is not extended, then you're not invited to approach the throne. And I really think about that imagery a lot because he has an eternal scepter extended for us. That we are always invited to him, but he doesn't lord our sin over us. He casts grace and love on us as we approach him. So I'm going off on a little bit of a rabbit trail there, but I'm explaining kind of one of the things that I really think about in this. And when you were talking about God's faithfulness, the faithfulness to me is his extended scepter that says you're always welcome to come to my feet. You're always welcome to approach me. And I'm always, always, always here for you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can never go be, you can never skip too many quiet times to make me go away. You know what I mean? But at the same time in that, you're experiencing his love for you, mm-hmm. the grace that he pours out on mm-hmm. you, his forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important for all of us who are searching for a relationship with God or who are mm-hmm. currently in a relationship with God to remember mm-hmm. that about who he is and the fact that he's so approachable, and it's out of this incredible character that he has towards us, which is completely undeserving. So Christine, I know that you have mentioned earlier, you were having a lot of experiences in your life mm-hmm. that were causing a lot of chaos in mm-hmm. your mind. I know from previous conversations with you that stress and anxiety was something that mm-hmm. was a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. And frankly, those of us who deal with stress and anxiety, it doesn't just go away. Mm-hmm. It's more so about the way that we experience that, mm-hmm. you know, and particularly in light of our faith. So I would love to hear a little bit more about that from you. Can you tell us more about what stress and anxiety looked like in your life before Christ, before your relationship with Christ, before that mm-hmm. hilltop moment in the mm-hmm. neighborhood when you just like let it all go and you let him in mm-hmm. and you explained to us that there was a real transformation after that. I'd love to hear that, as well as what does stress and anxiety look like now for mm-hmm. you? Mm-hmm. Because so many people in this world are battling mm-hmm. anxiety. Mm-hmm. It is so just ever present mm-hmm. in our lives. And I think that understanding what that looks like behind the scenes for a Christian who mm-hmm. has a relationship with Christ mm-hmm. and is living in that faith walk. Mm-hmm. What does that look like before Christ and after Christ?
Sure. Yeah. So I was really in, I lived my life for many, many years just really filled with a lot of bitterness and a lot of anger and a lot of stress. I was not happy in my marriage. It wasn't anything wrong with my spouse. It was, I just lived like I could find everything wrong with everyone around me all the time, you know? And I just had a really critical spirit and was just not satisfied with any of that and with anything in my life, my marriage, my family. And so that was causing me a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. Part of that hilltop moment was understanding forgiveness. That was huge. I remember, you know, realizing that maybe the problem was more with me. It wasn't those around me. And I remember in that moment asking God, please forgive me. And I did, you know, talk to all my family and ask them to all forgive me for, some of them didn't really know what I was talking about, but some of them certainly did. And anyway, and I really found that, you know, once you have peace, once you've got the peace of God, you know, you can, or peace with God, is you can really have the peace of God. And that's kind of been where, you know, now I have a different perspective on everything. You know, one is a huge gratitude perspective. You know, I have this amazing husband. The things I was thinking that he should be doing or expecting of him to make me happy were not really fair to put on him. And I've really I see him in a totally different light. And have a lot of gratitude for the husband that God has given me and the family that God has given me. And so, you know, just really appreciating that with a sense of gratitude and the gift, again, of grace, you know, that God has given me, that has just really changed my perspective.
Mm. What you're sharing reminds me of a verse that I have prayed thousands of times out of Philippians, mm-hmm. and I'll share it here with everyone listening today, and that is, be anxious for mm-hmm. nothing, but in everything by prayer and mm-hmm. petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace that surpasses mm-hmm. all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And I hear you, when you talked about bitterness, stress, anxiety, mm-hmm. then you mentioned forgiveness, mm-hmm. which delivered you mm-hmm. from that bitterness. Mm-hmm. And then you spoke about peace. Mm-hmm. And then you spoke about gratefulness. Mm-hmm. And without even trying or knowing that you were necessarily speaking that, a reflection of that verse in action, being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition. Mm-hmm. So prayer, go before the Lord, yep. right? Yep. Surrender to him, petition yep. over and over and over again. Don't delay, don't stop, keep yep. it going.
Yep.
With thanksgiving, yep. with a grateful heart,
yep.
right? And constantly being thankful and grateful for what he has given you and seeing it through a new lens
yeah.
so that your heart is grateful, not resentful or mm-hmm. bitter or critical or skeptical, but you have a grateful heart for what God has given you. Then present your request to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when I prayed that prayer for so many there was a season in my life when I prayed it over many months. And because of that season, I have since prayed it for years and years and years. But I really love the present your request to the Lord part. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because I want to get what I want, you know, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. because I love the fact that that's part of the equation. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that God invites us mm-hmm. to say to him what our heart desires, mm-hmm. to say to him what we want. And so many times I've gone to the Lord knowing that what I was requesting was just a Jessica thing. It wasn't like a God thing. Uh-huh. You know, it was like, I know that this is a Jessica thing. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty confident that this is not really what you want for me, but I'm just going to be honest. This is what I want, you know? And so I'm coming to you and saying, listen, God, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I'm just being honest. Mm. This is what my heart desires right now. So either I need you to help me so that my desire mm-hmm. can change because I can't change my desire, or please give me what I want. You know, it's like one of those two outcomes is yeah. going to be the outcome of this prayer. And I love the fact that he says, just come before me and ask for it and be thankful for what you have and present your request to me. But the outcome of the request is not that you get what you want. What does it say? And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it's not about mm-hmm. getting the request. Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that he gives you a peace mm-hmm. that is so great that mm-hmm. you can barely articulate, that is so beyond what anybody could understand. Mm-hmm. That you don't even care about your thing anymore. Yeah. Like you're not yeah. worried about that thing anymore. Yeah. The worry, the fear, the anxiety it dissipates
yeah.
because the peace is so overwhelming.
It is. It is. And, you know, my husband hasn't changed. He's the same guy, but our marriage is totally different. And the way I see him, you know, it's just totally different. And that's one of those things I find too, like if I start to wander away from the word, I start to lose that. The critical spirit comes back. All those things can kind of creep back in there really, really quickly. But, you know, if I stay in the word, and prayer and praise and all of that, it's all part of it.
Right.
But yeah. And I think, you're absolutely right. We can, you know, ask anything of God, but, you know, we see the way he delivers in a different way. You know, it's okay. You know, this is God's will, and it may not be how I thought this was going to happen or what I thought the outcome would be. But it's always better than I was expecting it to be.
Right.
So,
and being able to have peace in the chaos.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. So much peace. I mean, I love when people say to me, you are not the same person you used to be. Mm-hmm. I love that, you know, and I'm just like, it's Jesus. I can't pin that on anything else, you know.
Right. So. He just changed you.
Yep.
And the way you see the world is different whenever you're with him. I love it. Well, so let's talk for a minute just about relationship with God. I know you've mentioned to me just now about spending time in the mm-hmm. Word and wanting to spend that time with him. Some people might have those habits, but mm-hmm. a lot of people might not have those habits, or it might not have ever been modeled for them what it looks like to mm-hmm. spend time in the Word or to spend time in prayer or mm-hmm. what a consistent quote unquote relationship with God looks like. So I kind of like to bust through a little bit of the Christianese and really paint a picture of what does that specifically look like. Do you mind sharing with us a little bit about what does that look like for you in your day-to-day life?
Yeah. It took me a while to kind of find the thing that worked for me, but I have a particular it's a radio show actually that I listen to, and there's a different theme and a book that goes with it every month. This month it's on grace, and I absolutely love it. And every month I get a new book, and every morning there is a devotional that's about 10 minutes. I do that every day. If I have time for nothing else, I do that every day. And then I have a book and a study guide that I go through. And so I have this, you know, that I do every month. And so that kind of gives me a focus. And it's funny because sometimes the book will be, the new book will come out and I'll look at the theme and I'll like, that's not for me. I don't need that. But okay, what the heck? I'll do it anyway. But sure enough, day one, I'm like, well, totally, this is for me. There's something God has in this for me. I didn't think there was going to be anything here for me. But it time and time again, I've learned now, just go with it, whatever the book title says. Because it's a good series, I guess, that works for me. I don't know how else to describe it.
Right.
For me, it's, you know, going through the devotional. It's got some verses in there, and then praying over those verses. How does God want me, you know, how does he want to change me through whatever the study is going to be today? You know, do you want to speak to me through this? Let me just see what you have for me today. And I always pray that prayer before I begin, you know, show me what you want me to get out of this study today. And every single day, it's just amazing. There's right. something in it for me. And so I can either read the book or I can listen to the radio broadcast of the book if I want to go out for a walk and just listen instead of read. And then there's questions and things that I answer. That's kind of what keeps me on track, and that's what I really enjoy. I've also enjoyed doing women's Bible studies and things like that when my work schedule or time allows. But this is just the one thing that I just love to start my day every day like that. And I find I totally look forward to it.
Right.
I don't want to miss it. It's, right. It sets my day.
Yeah.
You know, so.
What time do you get up? Do you add time in your morning to do these things?
Yeah. So I currently get up about 4:45, and I it used to be 6, and then it was like, well, I don't have enough time. It used to be 5:45, and just kept backing it up because I really enjoy that time so much, mm-hmm. you know, that I really want to have that time. There are days I sleep in a little bit later, but generally it's about 4:45.
Wow. Yeah. So you get up at 4:45. Do you drink coffee? I mean, hopefully you drink coffee you're getting up at 4:45.
Yeah. I sit and I drink coffee. We make the coffee the night before on a timer. So that's really
it's
sweet.
Ready for you.
So I literally stumble downstairs.
I need to get into that habit.
Yeah. Yeah. The key, Jessica, is going to bed by 9.
Yes.
And that's the hard part sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's neat. Well, I will say to anyone listening that you can have a relationship with God even if you don't get up at 4:45 in the morning. But I will also say that if you feel that the Holy Spirit has been prompting you to maybe spend some time in the morning with him, and you are married to that 30 minutes of sleep or whatever it is, it might not need to be 2 hours, but that you've been struggling to get over that hump, give it a shot. Yeah. You know, maybe think about how you might change your own sleep patterns or your own habits in order to see if you too, like Christine, might enjoy spending some really quiet time in the morning with the Lord and seeing what that does to your life and to your day and to how you perceive and experience your circumstances.
And I think the key is just start with 10 minutes. Mm. You know, just start with 10 minutes, but do it consistently.
Right.
And you'll go from there.
I really think there's something to be said for the something is better than nothing concept in spiritual disciplines and in things like prayer and reading the Bible and attending church and participating in studies and, you know, the list goes on, whatever type of thing might be the next step for you in seeking the Lord and getting to know him better. Because I've had this similar experience. Sometimes I just make it so big in my head that then I don't do it, or I feel like a failure when I'm not able to accomplish it. Whereas when I set those smaller achievable goals, then it really whets the appetite. And then suddenly you're interested in doing more. And this, the sacrifice of the sleep or your schedule or whatever the case may be, isn't as painful. It's something that you long to do that you're anxious in a positive way for. And that's just a beautiful way to live life. You know, I think we only have one life. And so experimenting with different ways to live life, to incorporate things that are eternal while we are here on this physical earth, I think it's definitely worth it. So everybody give it a shot. See how it goes for you. So as we wrap up, Christine, I'm curious, now that you've been in this more intimate relationship with the Lord for the past 12 years and you've just seen such transformation and other people around you have seen such transformation in your life, I'm curious, what advice or encouragement do you have for someone who might be struggling to believe?
Get with other believers and, you know, have conversations with them. Ask them, maybe, you know, tell them about your faith. Ask them to tell you about their faith. I think things like that can help. And I think that, you know, sometimes maybe if it's like for me where I thought I had faith, but I was questioning if I had faith, I wasn't necessarily questioning if God was real. So that was a little different for me, where I just needed to search myself and say, I've got a really unrepentant heart. And, you know, that was kind of where I needed that internal change and just, you know, seeing what Jesus had done for me. But it may be that some folks are just like not sure if God is real. You know, start with looking at creation around you. I love that to be a good, whenever I may have any kind of a doubt, I just go back to creation and I'm look at the human body and how we were made and how men and women were made. And, you know, things like that is so solidifying for me. I just, there's nothing that can shake that.
Right.
So I think God makes it so clear to us in that. And the world's going to give you a lot of, there's a lot of voices in your head all the time, you know, but if you can just get back to some, I think faith can be really simple sometimes if you think about it. And I like to look at everything through a simplified lens. To me, that just works. And creation is a really simple way to say, wow, you know, God had to do this. God had to do this.
Yeah. So if someone's struggling to believe that God is real, look at creation and start there. And it reminds me of a woman that I met at a conference once. We were outside of an elevator and somehow it was a Christian conference. So, you know, we kind of both knew that we were both Christians, but somehow outside of the elevator, she mentioned something to me and I said, that is so interesting. I would love to know your story. And then she just came right back out and said, I was in the middle of the mountains in Nevada looking at creation, and I had a eye-opening experience that God is real and that his son came to save us while we were still sinners. And I just fell on my knees in that moment. And from that day forward, my life has been changed. And I thought, wow, you know, I mean, it is so interesting to hear how people all over the earth have been transformed in all of these unique different ways. But I do believe what you said about creation, but I also want to go back in closing thought to what you said about the unrepentant heart, because I also think that a lot of people could be struggling to come close to God because of some sort of sin or bitterness or anger or strife or unforgiveness that is wreaking havoc inside of them. And it's almost like we want to blame it on God. Instead of recognizing that God is the one that lifts that burden and that can heal us from that pain. So yeah. I do think that that's a very strong message for someone that might be, hey, if you guys are out there, listen to Christine's story, because it's real. It's real how much it can really create a barrier between you and the God of the universe.
I had so much guilt and so much shame. And I always just had this, I just never felt like I was good enough, you know, good enough to be around a group of believers. I mean, my first time coming to BCC, I remember just this overwhelming feeling of love. Everyone was just, it's just this presence in this place. And I ended up leaving at first because I was like, this is, I don't belong here. You know, it wasn't until
like you didn't deserve to be loved.
I didn't deserve that. You know, it just, I just didn't feel like I was guilt. I had this guilt. I had this shame feeling that I just didn't belong here. And after that mountaintop moment, and literally, and that moment when I asked God, you know, tell me what to do, show me what to do. It was like, go back to BCC. And I did. And that was, you know, part of the longer story. And I realized there was something else keeping me away. But, you know, all the guilt, all the shame, it just took it away. And I just in that moment of all the peace, I mean, it was just, I don't know, it's just amazing how he can just flood you with that kind of peace and just take those things away if you just allow him to do it.
That's right. So. What a beautiful story and an incredible testimony. Thank you so much for sharing with us today just about your journey with the Lord and how it has transformed your life. I love hearing the behind the scenes experiences and just what a little bit of the life between Christine and God looks like. So thank you so much, Christine, for being with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity. I love to share his story of my life.
If you would like to know what the Bible says related to today's faith conversation, please go to the description of this episode. To hear more faith conversations, click follow. And you can share this episode to encourage someone else on their journey.